first episode of the 3Gen podcast, and it's your girl Abby.
It's your girl Debbie.
This is Esther.
So this is our first episode of the 3Gen podcast, and we're in January 2020. So happy new year, guys.
Happy new year.
Happy new year. So what do you think about last year?
Last year was good, and many things to thank God for. It was a fantastic year. Praise God.
Last year was good, but it was... Why are you lower?
No, go on.
Oh, last year was good. Yeah, but I don't know. 2020 will hopefully be better.
What do you think, like... You did last year that was really good, but you would like to improve this year?
I think what I did last year that I think was really good. Actually, I don't think I did anything really good last year.
Like, for example, now, like, I read, like, Genesis, like, should I say Psalms, and it stopped. But I wish I could continue, but I pray to improve this year on reading the studying the Bible. And the second thing that I did last year was I took a big step back away from social media. So yeah, stop looking at me. That's not a lie. Come on, I really did at the beginning. Like, I took it very seriously, and then it went down the drain.
You promised that you're going to be true, real.
Yeah, so, but yeah, so yeah,
that's good.
Yeah,
so, Debbie, what about you?
I don't think I did anything.
You surely find something. Was there anything that you did well?
I don't know.
What of your studies?
School? I didn't do well in my studies.
What of summer exams? That was really a good one.
They were good, but... Yeah, they were good. They were good.
Okay. So for me, I want to say that what I really did well was... my relationship with the Lord. I got in deeper, closer, and I got to learn more about intimacy with the Lord, as in fellowship with God in a deeper level, a way where it's beyond the way I used to do. So,
how did you get there?
Through seeking. You know, the Bible says that when you seek, you will find. When you knock, the door will be opened. And there was this insatiable desire in my heart to know more about the Lord. I have known him, but I realized that I wanted to know more. I wanted to get to a point whereby all that I do will be directed by God. It will be through the leading of the Lord, not by my own doing. And this brought me to seeking him the more. And I realized that the more I sought for him, the more I found him.
Okay. So guys, we're in exactly in the new year. How is it going so far? Like, what do you guys think about the 2020 so far?
Nothing's happened.
Nothing has happened.
Nothing has happened. So there's nothing to say about 2020 so far.
I've been a very bad girl since we got into the new year, but I'm praying to go back to the Lord full time and stay there. But yeah,
what day is it?
It's the 10th of January.
Oh, okay.
How come you're a bad girl? What happened?
I didn't plan it. It just happened that I was bored and I saw someone of the past and decided to entertain the person, and then after entertaining the person, I realized that I shouldn't have done what I did. So I spoke to God about it, and I still feel guilty online, but I'm trying to stay away from the past and trying to look forward to the future and what God has in store for me, even though it's really, really hard. But I'm trying to read the Bible, shall I? in order to keep me checked. It's really difficult.
So 2020, what I will say is, it's proves to, that that has proven to you that for every new year, for every new season, there's always readiness of temptation lurking around the corner, waiting for you to slip. It is for everyone. If you look back at 2019, the things you've done very well, that could be the same part that the enemy wants to tempt you and wants you to fall, so I can fall out of the grace of God. So I think that was what happened to you, because you were unaware, like you said, you weren't prepared for it. And whatever we are not prepared for, we have the high tendency of failing at it. So I think that was what happened.
But now I feel like I'm preparing myself for next time that kind of situation happens, I know what to do. But the devil is so tricky. I just pray it doesn't come in another way that you didn't expect it, because I'm just like, okay, the exact way this happened, it might happen the exact way, but it won't happen the exact way. Does that make sense?
That's true. Then also, I want to, you're talking about the new year, that what are the things that are new in the year? You know that as I am, I'm going to be 40. You're a young adult, and Debbie is a teenager. So like mid things, is it mid teens that you are now? 14. Debbie. 14. Yes. Is it? Well,
I'm 20. I'm early teens. 24.
Yeah, early teens. So, but for each and every one of us, each generation, as we've called ourselves, a three generation, there is always something that poses as maybe temptation or challenges. So for your own age as a young adult, what do you think are the things that could pose as challenges to you in the new year?
For this year?
Hormones.
Hormones.
What do you always say, hormones? This is the easy thing to everybody keeps saying. Is there hormones? If hormones are still disturbing you, 24, what of Debbie, 14? So what
she
do you have
to
say?
She just started the hormones.
So Debbie, what happens? What do you say?
I don't get what she means by hormones, because hormones mean different things. Because hormones can mean that you're angry or happy for no reason. So it depends on what she means.
Okay, maybe I won't say hormones. I mean feelings. Strong emotional feelings.
Feelings of sadness, anger, which one?
No.
Of what?
Of what? Can I really say it?
Say it.
Feelings in terms of like, because this age is like the age of harvest, of like.
What do you mean by
harvest? Harvest of hair?
No.
Eyebrows?
No. Harvest of apples?
No. Wow. Harvest of like men.
Harvest, so you're making men. You're like, you're...
This is when men look at you and you're... is it prone to get married? Stuff like that. To be in relationships.
Prone
like
means like... you're likely. Say
yeah.
Likely.
Yeah, likely. Should I say that? Do you get me?
Okay.
I know, but as in... people around you are getting married.
Yes, I like that.
That's the word
I think
saying.
That's the word you should have looked for. Like, there is this seemingly like kind of pressure that is coming up on you. Your age, you are close to getting married, and you see your friends doing the same thing. So
that's it's not gonna be a I hope it's not a challenge for me. I feel like that's what's gonna, a lot is gonna be happening like that this year. And so it's gonna make you feel a bit like, oh my, like, oh, entertain some things you shouldn't be entertaining. So
it's or desperation.
Pressure and everything.
So Debbie, what about you? What do you think for your age? You have to be truthful and open.
I don't know.
This year? Yeah. What do you think it's gonna come as a challenge?
What could probably come as a challenge?
I feel like, I don't know, for me, I don't say I'm conservative, but I don't do much as a teenager, like most teenagers do. So I just hear stories, so I don't know anything like that. I don't experience anything like that. I'm just focusing on my studies at the moment. So I don't think I'm going to encounter anything that most teenagers would say they're encountering, because I don't have the opportunity to encounter those things, because I'm just, I don't sound like, oh, my life is so sad, I was at home, blah, 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 blah. But I enjoy being at home. So I don't really regret staying at home or anything. But I'd say that as teenagers in general, for me, I would just say it's staying focused on the right things and not really caring about, like, certain things and stuff. Because at this point, I feel like the only thing 2020 has brought for me was just, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm really being thrown into being a teenager at this point. Because there's a feel that you're important in a way, but at the same time, you're not, like, you're just in the middle of being a child and an adult. So you're thinking, like, am I really that important? Because people don't want to listen to you sometimes, but, like, sometimes they want to listen to you, but sometimes they don't want to listen to you. And it's just annoying. So I feel like that's the only thing I'm
balancing
at the moment. So that's what happened so far. But yeah, that's the thing I'm trying to figure out myself. Like, I'm just there. That's how I feel. I feel like I'm just there. If you get what I mean? That's how I feel at the moment.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think you're happy? Like, are you, like, you said that, like, some of your other teenager friends, you don't do what they do. Do you think you feel satisfied of where you are?
I feel satisfied because I don't have to experience certain things.
Like what?
Like stories and stuff like that. Like something happened to somebody, something's happening here, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's weird that some of the things that people my age are experiencing now, like, our parents would have experienced it when they were our age, but it's just being surrounded. Like, it's around us all the time. But I feel like I don't really blame them, because we are, like I said, at a point that we're just in the middle. So we're just trying to figure out. So I don't blame them in a way, but I wouldn't do it.
No.
I understand that they're confused. I understand why they're confused, because you're not a child anymore and your parents are telling you you're not a child anymore. But they can't give you freedom. But there's also supposed to have a level of freedom. So you're confused because you're like, I'm allowed to do some things, but then I'm not allowed to do some things. And you're just like, it's just very, 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 very confusing. That's the thing. And
looking
you're just there.
Your age.
Yeah.
That's really good. We'll still come back to solutions, because we're not just talking problems. We're going to talk solutions as well. So for me, as my age range, what's the pressure now is you are at the point whereby you really want to fulfill the purpose for which you are created. At when you get to my age, your concern is all about, oh, now how is my impact going to be felt? I've grown. Is an age whereby you feel like you are at almost like, will I call it noon or so? But it's like, at this time, there should be productivity. There should be something showing. There should be you should be working on your legacy, what you believe in for the next generation. Mm-hmm. So the pressure that we have right now at my age is the sense of, am I going to leave anything behind? Am I going to be of importance? Is anything going to come out of my life? Am I really doing what I ought to be doing? So, like, for me, my age, we've gone through, when I was a teenager, the things I went through as a teenager, the uncertainty of whether I'm an adult or a child, and I've gone through young adulthood, whereby afterwards, getting married and settling down. Now you've done that, you've been married, you've had children, but what you're looking for is, what am I going to leave behind?
Mm-hmm.
What is my legacy going to be? Am I going to be regarded as somebody who has been productive? At this time of my own age or my age range, our desire is functioning in the area for which we've been called and actually making an impact. We want to see all the desires you've had as a teenager, as a young adult. My age now, you want to see the realization. So there is a pressure on our age range that am I relevant now? Is am it? I actually being productive?
Because she has done everything like she has.
I feel like that there's a pressure, like, I don't feel like it's a pressure everybody would like be pressuring, be like, oh, what do you have to leave behind? But I feel like it's a pressure for their own self. They have that pressure on themselves and amongst themselves, that age range. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't say it's from other.
What happens is, ranges. You know, for every age, you know, for every age range, everything comes through your peer pressure will come from your age range. You know, mm-hmm. As Abigail was saying that, oh, now she's, going to be like 20. She's going to be 24, and then. All our friends are getting married. Even some are married already with children. And at this time, even this year, you could start hearing of, oh, this is getting married, that is getting married. And immediately you start feeling like, oh, am I not losing out? Should I be looking for a relationship now? Even though there is no relationship, but she might tend to begin to get desperate. Mm-hmm. So within our age range as well, there is this pressure like, Abby, are you in any relationship? You know, yeah. All those sly comments and people might say jokingly, but it might rub you on the wrong side. Like, mm-hmm. Don't talk about it. I know I should be doing this, but please don't talk about it. So the pressure always comes from our age range. So that's the way life has always been. Just as you, as a young teenager, a friend could say to you like, oh, Debbie, why do you always stay at home? Why can't you just come to town? Mm. Let's just walk around, you know? Mm. So the pressure comes. I may not understand your pressure. Yeah. So that is why we have to be fair on ourselves. I wouldn't just say that, oh, your pressure is not real. Yours, mine is, no. Mm. Our pressures are real. Mm. So, but what we are looking at now is, okay, what are the answers? How do we navigate through those pressures?
Mm. Another thing I want to say is, do you know the way it's New Year and everybody's fasting?
Mm.
Every church is fasting.
Mm.
I feel like I'm not interested.
Debbie, what is your take on that?
I don't get it.
You don't get it though.
Like, I understand. No, the thing is, I understand that it's a fast for the New Year and that we should start the New Year of good and all that. But fasting itself, any time of the year, I just don't get it. I don't get it. I get it that discipline. But I don't get the fasting part of not eating and drinking. I get the prayer part. I get that. But I just don't get the fasting part. Why do we have to do that in it? Like, for us to pray at the very end?
Okay. Thank you for what you've said. This is really a good question. No, really. When I was younger myself, I would fast because my mom told us to fast. And you have no way around it. You have to fast because they won't give you breakfast anyway. So you have to. But growing up now understanding, why do I fast?
Mm-hmm.
Most of you said that everyone is fasting, not everyone, only maybe churches or Christians.
Mm-hmm.
They are the ones fasting, and it is you have to join if you want to. It's not compulsory.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the thing, why do we fast? That is the question you should ask yourself. Now Debbie says that she doesn't get it, and Abigail says that she's not interested.
I don't want to fast.
Why don't you want to fast?
Because I just like, my mind is not there.
You like food.
One thing is, you can go off without eating. Like,
do you really see me? Yeah,
the thing is, like,
I'm just not interested at all.
We can go, like, some people on some days, you can go without eating for like a few days. I mean, not a few days, sorry. Like a few hours, like 6 hours, 8 hours, you know? And it doesn't affect you because you're not thinking about it. But that's another thing they use against us. They'd be like, sometimes you do it, why not do it for fasting? Mm-hmm. And you're like, the reason, I just don't get it.
The reason you fast is you want to prepare yourself
for
to know. You want to prepare yourself. You know, it's a sign of humility, of subjecting yourself unto the Lord. Okay, why is it that it's so difficult to do without eating? The Bible says that when Jesus wanted to start his ministry, the first thing he did, he fasted and he prayed. He said 40 days and 40 nights. And looking at that scripture, I was thinking maybe 2 days or 3 days ago, the Lord was showing it to me in the book in Luke chapter 4. And I was thinking about it that why does he need to go on fasting? Because he will soon start a ministry or something. But I realized that it was his form of his way of showing his submission unto the Lord. And when you fast, you have clarity. You have clarity because you have subjected your body to, because as you feed this body, it is the flesh. When we eat, it nurtures our body, it helps us, yes. But then when we fast, the focus shifts from the flesh to the spirit. And that is what you need to connect with God. You don't just want to navigate life for navigating sake, walking, going around life's sake, but you want to know.
I know all this stuff. But when they say fast, and you're like, okay, fast, I know all this stuff. But how do I say it? Like, my mind isn't really there. Like, I'm just like starving myself. I'm like, I'm not interested. See, the way it took me time to come to the Lord, even though I claim to be a Christian, but it took me time to have a relationship with God. That's how I feel in terms of fasting. Like, fast, let us call fasting as Christian. I know I'm a Christian, but I'm not really like into it. I'm just there. Do you understand? So why am I wasting my time when I can just eat until I get to that stage where I have the understanding, I guess. I know it, but I don't have the understanding.
I was explaining to you and I said that you know.
Yeah.
All I'm explaining to you. That means that you understand the word, you understand the reasons behind it, but you just don't feel like doing it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. And for Debbie, do you understand the reason now?
No, I understand the reason. I've known it all along, right? But I just, the concept just doesn't, it's not like it doesn't appeal to me, because like some people do it out of tradition, if you get it.
Yes, that's true.
Like the thing is, fasting could have been a tradition rather than something religious, you know, that adding prayer to it, it could have just been like, okay, as a family, we're just going to challenge ourselves. It's like going without your phone for a day, you know? It's something that if somebody told me to do, I would do it as like a challenge. But I just don't, the only word I can say is I just don't get it. That's the only
way. Because the reason is this. Why the Bible says that, okay, when you fast, make sure that you feel, you look good, you look nice, don't look like you're sorrowful or unhappy. But it says that so that it will not be obvious to other people. That's what the scripture says. And then Jesus himself now says that when you do this, what you are doing is secret, you're fasting, that God himself will reward you. So that means that fasting has a reward. Although it comes, it has to go through our physical body, which is our flesh that we are denying. But this scripture says, makes me to know that it is a spiritual exercise. So when you do that, you are subjecting your body, your flesh, to obey the Lord. And like I said earlier on, it gives you clarity. Have you not noticed that when you fast, you can't think of any other thing? That you won't be so much concerned about worldly things when you are fasting.
I could be.
You could be. Okay. But when you are fasting, do you still have time to chat for so long and fight?
Yeah.
Then you need a renewing of your mind. No, really, your mind needs to be renewed. You know why? Where I keep talking about is, you think that, okay, what, I always bring gospel into all things. Because that is life. That is the life. We were not created by ourselves. And you have a template. You have a manual, which is the word of God. So if the scripture says to you that fasting is good, so you will do it having faith that, God, can you please help me? You know, sometimes we just need to be like a child. Like what you're saying now, you're being truthful. Can't you just take that to the Lord? Daddy, I don't even get this. I don't get it. But can you please help me?
But if I don't get it, should I do it?
Yeah.
You have to do it. It's good for you to do it. No, no,
but
really,
the thing
no
is,
one.
it's like saying, what's something that you do like in Christianity? I'm trying to think.
Close eyes.
No.
Since, let me give an example. Since you've been young, if you've grown in a Christian family, you've been prayed for. You've been praying, morning devotion, evening devotion, but sometimes at those ages you don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a time in your life that you see the reward of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that, oh, Daddy prayed for me, and I saw a change. And what would that do to you? It will change your perspective about it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get it? So that is why, for me, I will encourage my child, if my child is grown to the age where they can fast, I will encourage them to fast. Even if it's not necessarily they should fast, like how many hours I'll fast, but at least a few hours just for them to understand.
But encourage means that you push them to do it. Like you say that, I don't cheer, but you would just say, do it.
Okay. A parent sometimes might sound like that because God has given us them the authority. But sometimes the authority is, for me, for a child, you might look like that, mommy is abusing authority, but it's not an abuse. Like, I will force you to take your medicine. It's for your good. At that time, you will hate me because you don't like it, it's bitter. But after when you now healed, you feel, ah, well, it's good, I'm happy, I'm good, I'm healthy. So let's take it that way, that fasting is for our own spiritual health.
Even though my mind is not in there, and sometimes when the time to eat comes,
that's what you think about.
What do you mean?
That's what you think about, that let me just eat and that's it.
No, let me just, sometimes I can just not eat still. It's not like I'm continuing the fast. It's more of like I can't be bothered to eat. Does that make sense?
The thing is, what you don't understand, there's no reason doing it, you know? What you don't...
Why?
Let me see. The reason you are doing it is that nobody's forcing you.
Yeah.
But you are the one making yourself to do it because you know you have to do it. Because you call yourself a child of God.
Yeah.
You call yourself a Christian. Yeah. And there is a witness in your heart that is letting you know that, no, I have to fast.
But the thing is, I wouldn't do it if I didn't know people, like... People in the church are watching me. If I wasn't going to church and they didn't say, and I knew there was a fast going on in like some church that I visit like once every month, right? But I never go there to go and say, yeah, I fasted this whole week. I wouldn't fast. Nobody's there to say that. Oh, you don't fast.
Means, okay, that is why it is good to be in the midst of people who can encourage you to do good, you know? So that's an example. Like what Abby was saying earlier on, like, oh, I shouldn't have entertained the person from the past. If that day you were with somebody, I'm telling you,
I don't think that
you wouldn't do it. Even that won't be the opportunity to do it. Once the person looks at you, immediately you...
But I think it will still happen still. I think it will still happen. I'll just tell my friend to be like... No, like you can go, like I think you'll be
fine. And that means that if it comes to that point, that it means that it is you now.
I'm the problem.
You have to, you're not the problem. You have to, no, none of us is the problem, but you have to build yourself. Temptations are always around us.
Do you ever have temptations?
Yes.
Okay. Temptations.
Give us one example.
Like, no, I was almost about to lie. I lied to the receptionist. I slept in and I didn't pray. I woke up at 6 a.m. I couldn't pray then. Like, not something serious, but like...
Realistic things. What I can... You know, like, this is the truth. We all grow. There is a point that... I may not be at the same level as you, like maybe the temptation. No, really. Because sometimes it's not even because of spirituality, it's the age. There are things that a 14-year-old can be tempted by, but I can be. It can't tempt me.
That's true.
So that's the truth. So, and just as all versus, like, there are things that can tempt me, and I feel like that's not temptation. But what came to my mind is the temptation to do things in
half-heartedly.
Can you wait for me to just stop? No, this is what I think, and don't look at me. Look away. This is what I. This is the temptation that could come to somebody from to me is a temptation of doing things in a way that will bring glory to myself or trying to get honor for myself and not for God. There's always that thin line between whatever I do is for the glory of God and not my own glory. So I'm always, it's not a tightrope for me, but it's a constant consciousness and a constant laying it down before the Lord that this I don't want to do for my own glory but for your glory. That is a constant temptation that I could say that is always there, aside from maybe other things like...
How do you think God feels about that fasting? Like, I'm just doing it, God, I'm not really here.
You know, there's a part in the scripture that says that the father called two of his children and sent them out to go and walk. One says, oh, daddy, I'm going to do it, I'm going. And another said, I'm not going to do it, daddy. But afterward, in the Bible, afterward, the one of the sons went ahead to do, the one that said I'm going to do it did not do it, and the one that said I'm not going to do it did it. And Jesus now asked the question, who amongst them do you think has made the father happy?
The one that said I'm not going to do it.
And what happened?
I did it.
He did it. So the Lord knows how to help you, mm-hmm. that you will come to the level that you will understand the reason you are doing it. I would fast when I was younger, but not because I wanted to, mm-hmm. but because my parents said I should. But now, nobody needs to tell me to fast. I know the reason why I'm fasting.
Mm. So should we continue fasting until we reach that point?
Please do.
Okay.
Please
okay.
do. As the Lord strengthens you, so far as it strengthens you, please do. Don't say that, oh, I won't do it. It's like, you. Let's bring it down to what is good. Maybe everyday thing. You don't like showering, mm-hmm. but you shower anyway. Mm-hmm. And then you say, Mommy, do you think I should continue? But your mom says, okay, just do it, even if you don't like it. But at the end of the day, you get the reward. You don't have bad breath. You don't have body odor. So it's your own reward. Then a time will come. Mm. And nobody will have to tell you, now you know.
Mm.
So please continue.
What are you trying to avoid, guys, this year? Don't worry.
No, I thought you said... I was about to say that. Didn't we already say that?
No.
Oh, did we not? Okay.
Like me, I'm trying to avoid procrastination. I'm trying to avoid...
Procrastination is a big deal. It's a big, big thing.
I think it's everybody's problem.
It's a big thing. Not for everyone.
Okay. Of course
not. No. For me, I procrastinate. Yeah, I do. I'm not saying not for everyone generally in the world. But there is always the...
I feel like everyone procrastinates.
Everyone has a dose of it. Everybody. I think almost, I'm not sure because some people might stand up and say, no, don't say that. I don't have it.
Mm.
But I think every human being, we have a bit of procrastination. And where does it come? Procrastination sometimes comes out of fear.
Mm.
It might be, it's always subtle. It might be out of fear. You want to get the thing done, but you might feel like, am I going to do it well?
So you just
and
worry.
Sometimes you worry so much, sitting down, thinking, worrying, and then you don't do it. You procrastinated.
Mm.
It comes in. It just slithers in into your...
Sometimes it comes as anxiety or worry.
Yes.
Mm. And the thing is because you... Like, worrying is basically procrastinating.
Mm.
Worrying on a problem, then the problem comes and you keep worrying. Like, you keep worrying until, like, the very day before it.
I like the what she used. Worrying, that word. Worry is...
Anxiety.
Worry and anxiety
is...
The cause of procrastination.
I stole it from one of my ear pads yesterday.
Okay.
She was talking about No,
that's not stealing. That's how we learn. We learn from other, we learn from books, we learn from people, and then it becomes yours. You make it yours now.
Yeah.
Now you are giving it to me. It doesn't sound like somebody is teaching you, but now it has become yours. That is the truth. Because I sat down and I talked about procrastination. Why do we procrastinate? I realize it's usually fear, anxiety, worry. So it is a good thing then to sit down and say no more. Because at the end of the day, you still get that thing done.
Mm-hmm.
But another the annoying thing about procrastination is once that thing is not done, you'll not be angry at yourself for wasting the time you wasted. So in order to avoid that, what should we do?
Yeah, what should we do? Because me, that thing is real for me. And I don't want to hear when you know you're about to do it, when you know it needs to get done, do it right there.
There's somebody quite wise, and I listened to say something. He said, he is a great procrastinator, but he's a writer and he has written close to 200 books.
Mm-hmm.
So how is it possible for you to do that if you procrastinate? Because writers are the greatest procrastinators. They have the ideas in their head, but then they can't get it done. He used the practical thing, not prayer this time around. It wasn't prayer. It was practical. What he did was said that whenever he's procrastinating, he keeps thinking about what he's supposed to do. He keeps planning on it, building on it. So when he goes to do it, it gives him fuel to get it done quicker.
But that's what I do. But it gets to like the week before exams and it doesn't work out.
I'm going to study
like this. Actually, so I'm going to focus on that topic instead. Mm-hmm. Then now gets to the week before, or even the week of exam, and I'm studying the week before.
Maybe the dimension you do it is different. This is why your student work. You have an exam.
What's different?
3 weeks.
Okay, let's say it's a project. It's a project.
Then you have to work on your project. Because if you don't work,
writing your book is a project.
Yes,
it's. But he builds on it. But when he's procrastinating.
No, but the thing about a writer is this: you could have this scene in your head, you have this plot in your head, mm-hmm. and then you pick your pen or you pick your computer and you sit down, and because you've worked on it in your subconscious, you've built on it. It's a different thing because it's something coming from your creativity. But if it's something you have to learn, it's a different thing. Because what if I'm writing is in me, I'm trying to call it out. So all I need to do is just to think about it, build it. By the time I want to, it goes on.
But I feel like that's different. But that's different from procrastination, I feel. Because procrastination is avoiding it. You're worrying on the...
That's what the person is trying to say is this. While he wasn't working on it, he was avoiding it. But while doing that, he was thinking about it in his head. He was sitting down thinking about it in his head.
This is too much technical.
But no, it's not technical.
That's
but,
different.
Movie. Okay, but let's... Okay, maybe it doesn't work for what we are discussing. But this is how... But what he said, I thought about it. And for me, I realized that it could work.
Yeah, for you because you're right.
But the thing is...
I don't know what to say.
No, you know why it's different? Because procrastination is you're worrying on it and you're not even like you're thinking about that.
You're not even moving.
You're not moving. You're not like the thing is in your mind, you're like, I have to do it. You're worrying about I have to do it and it's really hard. You're just worried over that whole thing. But that guy
stand up and get it on.
But that guy is sitting down and he's thinking, he's not procrastinating.
No, he's not sitting down. He's busy doing other things.
Yeah, but procrastination is like you're finding other stuff to do. Like you're forcefully looking
that's
for other things.
He said he would do that. Sometimes he'll be looking instead of walking, then maybe he picks up a book to read or to go and watch a movie or go for a walk or something when he's supposed to be walking. Because, you know, anything you procrastinate, the truth about it is that it's usually work. It's usually something that is quite tedious. That's why it gives you this form of, I'll do it later. Nobody procrastinates watching a movie back to back. Is there anyone that...
Did you say nobody procrastinates
watching a movie?
Or watching a movie
back to back.
Sometimes you can. I can. I'll be like, okay, I have to watch this for. I can't be bothered.
But nobody procrastinates entertainment. That means even you're not watching.
Sometimes, I'm sorry. Because like imagine your friends are like, I want to go out and watch a movie with you, and you actually want to watch that movie, but just like, I can't be bothered.
So how do you kill it?
I feel like that guy, what he said, I don't think that works for everybody because procrastination is, it's almost like encouraging it. But...
okay, but this is another thing that I remember as you're talking. Well, he says that this is what you now do. Normally, the work you have to do maybe is 2 hours and you finish it. Or let's say, it'll take you a day to finish it, maybe 24 hours. But normally you're supposed to break it down into maybe four hours. Now you have a job to finish in 1 week, 7 days. And your deadline is the 8th day. So now you have 7 days to work. And normally this work you use, let's say, 24 hours to finish it. So break that 24 hours into 7 days.
It's too much.
That would be what?
Divided by, that's 3.
Like about 3 hours per day.
3 hours and three hours... 3/7 hours
per day. So this is what this person says now. You can now say, okay, if I procrastinated for 1 day, then multiply your 3.5
times 2.
So the day that you've procrastinated, that you lost, you catch up. Whether you are feeling sleepy, you are feeling tired, you have to get it done.
But everybody does that. But everyone is like, I procrastinated for 5 days. I'm going to work 15 hours.
They do all nighters.
It's a big problem.
It's a big problem. See the way you have this like solution in terms of writing. Can you do the same thing in terms of sewing?
I do procrastinate a lot in sewing. I know that.
I feel like the only way to overcome procrastination is literally get up and do it. That's really bad advice. It's really bad advice. But
might sound like it's the usual what you've heard, but I've seen that's what works.
Because I'm sorry, the way that guy said
because my mind is not there. I'm just gonna do it.
But sometimes, you know, many times we don't want to do anything in life. Most human beings, we are lazy people. But the truth is, you see that you have to do, then you stand up and do it. Like you're saying about sewing, I've seen that it worked for me. That, oh, now I have to get this dress done. I have an hour to get, I can do it in an hour. So I just say, I'll do it later.
Because it's like,
it's just an hour.
Even
some that, but another time is I procrastinate for every reason. I procrastinate because, okay, it's just an hour. I'll catch up. Or this job will take me 20 hours to do. I don't want to sit for 20 hours. So there's always a reason,
yeah,
to procrastinate. So what I do, like what I've seen that I've used to stop me from procrastinating is just standing up and getting it done.
I'm sorry, there's no other way.
There's no other way.
It's okay.
Because, like, I'm sorry, you have to sort of realize it. Because let's say it's a course for your exam. I mean, it's a project. Because exams are different because you're learning stuff. But project, you know what you have to do. You're literally putting it together. You're making something. You should be able to do that, right? You literally have to get up and do it. Because you know what you what it's going to cost if you don't do it.
So that's the thing. You know what cost if you don't do it.
Because
so
the thing is, it sounds...
If you have a cost, that will make you run.
Because even for, like, me, I've heard everybody say, just get up and do it. Just get up and do it.
I will try it and give you results.
And the thing is...
Yeah, even us, even, like, procrastinating leaving the house. You have an appointment.
Honestly, you're like,
and I will calculate that. No, I'll just think, like, the drive is 10 minutes.
Yeah, just do last minute, like, 30 minutes before I leave the house.
But anytime that comes... immediately just stand up and do it. You know, there was a time I did that same thing for a dress that I picked up, and immediately I said, okay, let me just get this done. Do you know that I never had time to do it until the person came for it? So I think that advice is the only way. Get up and do it.
What would you say to 2021? So dear
2021, we're just starting 2020.
I know, but what are we now to say to dear 2021?
No.
Dear future.
Dear future me. Okay, everybody have your time.
Before you leap to 2021, what have you spoken to 2020?
I am numb on that.
But if you don't fix where you are right now, but you are leaping to the future.
No, we're not leaping to the future. We're just
send the message.
Dear 2021, I hope that I was able to blah, blah, blah this in 2020.
Okay, like this is 2020 beginning. So 2021 beginning of...
So it's like you're doing your New Year's resolution, like what you want to see in 2020. And you say, did I accomplish that 2021?
Because you're going to come back and listen to this. I'm going to actually do a review on it.
Okay.
Who wants to start first?
Oh,
24. Do you want to start?
No, you should start.
Ugh, I don't know what I want to say to 2021. Dear 2021, Abby, I hope... Wait, how old are you going to be? You'll be going in... Oh, I'll be 25, technically.
You're 24, relax.
Dear 2021, Abby, I hope... Number one, you are happy.
Okay,
good. Oh, you can say
Abigail.
Yeah.
You are 23.
Yeah.
So let me add to your age. So that is good.
Yeah, guys, I'm actually 23, but we're already in 2020. I'm gonna be 24. So I'm already claiming that I'm 24. I'm gonna be like Charlotte. Anyways, dear 2021, Abby, I hope you are happy. I hope you're in a mansion.
Go on.
I hope you are still single. I'm sorry, I'm not cursing myself. I'm just saying, I hope you're still single. I hope...
For the right reasons?
For the right reasons, yeah. I hope you are actually working or walking in purpose. That's what, yeah. I hope your relationship with God is very strong, not the way you started in the year. I hope you're not numb. And I hope your business is really going well and extremely well. And I hope you've already started traveling. That's what I want to say to 2021, Abby.
Okay, it's my turn.
Yeah.
Dear 2021, Debbie. I don't know. I hope by 20. I hope in. I hope in 2021, I've entered 2021 like not being sad, hopefully. So I hope I enter 2021 happy, and by the time I hope I watch this, like maybe this time next year, like the 10th exactly, so that I'll be like this. So this time last year, I hope I'm not feeling the same way. So I hope I'm feeling happy and content and not confused and on the right way with academics, and that in 2020 I didn't focus on things that weren't useful right now, because that aren't useful right now, like, and I'm focusing on the right reason and I know where I'm going, and hopefully I'd have read the Bible more and not procrastinated, because I'm doing that right now. Instead of reason Hosea, I'm still on chapter 3. But we'll get there. Hopefully by then, I'll be able to say that I finished it in, like, come February. On. In February. What? Oh, Hosea. I'll be able to say that in 2020, I finished it in February. I'm not in February yet, okay. But I say that I finished
February
it
in 2020.
Before, yeah, this year. Okay. So I say that I was able to finish it before February or in February. Right. And I've gotten another one to read. And throughout 2020, I was able to read the Bible. And yeah, hopefully that's what I can say. Also, for anybody listening, my birthday is the 28th of November, 2005. If you want to ever just text us and say happy birthday or send something over, make sure you do. My address is, you don't need to know it, but don't worry, we'll help you leak the address if you send something. Thank you.
That was good. Ah, 2021 me. I speak it forward. I'm speaking it forward. My 2021, Esther, you'll be in constant rest, as you've always been. You'll always be in constant rest and in contentment and the joy of God. In 2021, I want to see you as a published author, a speaker, one who is impacting life and touching lives.
You're supposed to say that 2021 me, I want to see myself as a published author in 2020, that I was published in 2020.
Yes,
and say the month and say everything.
Just so split. That's what I'm saying, really. That by that time, I'm a published author, because it's already done by 2021, and a speaker changing lives and foundation for which the Lord has placed upon my heart is already starting, helping people and bringing them into the purpose of God.
Is that all?
That's all.
You don't want money?
I have enough.
Wow, guys, she's rich. That is why we're living with her. Anyways, guys, that is the end of our fourth episode of 3Gen. It's your girl Abby once again.
It's your girl Debbie.
This is Esther.
So see you next week. Bye.